Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Peter describes a very surprising relapse of those who have embraced Jesus Christ, embraced the gospel, and professed to have been born again. When he tells us in 2 Peter 2:20, "For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, they are again entangled in them and overcome." And what he is describing is what we call apostasy. Now, it might seem that what he's describing is what we frequently call backsliding. Apostasy is a more technical term, and it generally has to do with a departure from sound doctrine. And we normally think of that in terms of the gospel and other tenets of the Christian faith. Sound doctrine. Backsliding, we generally think of in terms of practice. Departing from godly living, Christ-like living, living like a Christian, and falling back into the sins of the world, back into immorality, drunkenness, and who knows what else. And that we generally call backsliding. The truth of the matter is that all doctrine is, what should I say, everything that the Bible teaches is doctrine. It's not just the doctrine that about Christ, the doctrine about the gospel, the doctrine about the virgin birth and the sinless life and the vicarious death and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave and so forth and his promised return. That's not the only thing that is properly called doctrine. That's generally what we think of when we use that term. But when the Bible tells us that fornicators and adulterers God will judge and tells Christians not to live that way, that's doctrine as well. That's doctrine that pertains to our lifestyle, to our practice, but that's also doctrine. Everything the Bible teaches is doctrine, so a departure from biblical teaching is, in fact, apostasy. It is also backsliding. What I'm really saying is there is no distinguishable difference between those two terms. In our popular concept, we would assign apostasy a more theological concept, departing from orthodox theology, and we would assign sinful living to the term backsliding, but in actuality, they are both one and the same, and they are dangerous. And that's what Peter is describing for us in 2 Peter 2:20. And we will continue studying this text on this Friday, April 24. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for supporting us financially to make this possible. Well, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, Peter tells us, they are again entangled in them and overcome. Entangled in the world, the fabric of the world, the polluted conduct of the world, and the polluted religions of the world. Because any religion which does not conform to biblical orthodoxy is a polluted religion. And this return involves an enslavement. Peter says they are entangled in them and overcome. their former sins that they were involved in before they escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but their former sins now exert a stronger hold than before. It will be more difficult for them to break free a second time than it was the first time. And the first time was difficult, and now we know, even more difficult than we realized, because we would have assumed that the first time they escaped because of saving grace that had changed their hearts and given them new desires. But now we learn that they escaped through a decision, a human decision of some kind, that gave them a desire to identify as a Christian and to be counted among the people of God, and they were able to change their beliefs and their lifestyle sufficiently to make that happen, but because their heart really hadn't been changed, they weren't able to keep that up. Pretty soon their desire to live according to their Adamic nature overcame their desire to be given a Christian respectability by others, and so they went back to the pollutions of the world, and now they've been overcome. Those sins exert a stronger hold than they did before, and most of them in this condition will never escape. They are unlikely to ever get out of that condition. And what we need to realize is that when people who once embraced the Christian faith now believe something contrary to that, they no longer believe Christian orthodoxy, that is actually a cover, a justification for their altered behavior. They want us to think, and they even sometimes convince themselves, that their changed understanding has led to a change in their behavior. But the truth of the matter is that their changed behavior has required of them a different theology, and that's why they have adopted a different theology. Let me run that by again and break it down so that you understand exactly what I'm saying. Here's someone who professed to have been converted out of a sinful lifestyle. That's what's being described here. After they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For a while, they embrace biblical Christianity, both in doctrine and in practice, in lifestyle. They believe like a Christian, they live like a Christian. But the day comes when they depart. Probably slowly at first, but they depart. They get to the place where they declare that they no longer believe what they used to believe, and you realize they no longer live like they used to live. And they will tell you that it is because they have come to think differently about Christian doctrine, about certain aspects of the Christian faith, that's why they have changed their lifestyle, because they no longer have the theological foundation to support a Christian lifestyle. They don't believe what they used to believe, and so they see no reason to live like they used to live. And they would have you think that honest questions about theology have led them to make this change that has caused them to embrace a different lifestyle. But what we learn from this passage is that it's generally the other way around, almost always the other way around. They're sliding back into formerly sinful ways. They just couldn't keep up that Christian lifestyle when they didn't have a changed heart. And so back they went to their immorality. Back they went to their drunken parties. Back they go to their former way of living, and they will now need some way to justify that. You can't continue to embrace the Orthodox Christian faith, while you are obviously rejecting the biblically required Christian lifestyle. So now they will generally tell you that they have come to see things differently, that their theology has changed. They have had honest questions about biblical orthodoxy, and having come to a different understanding of the theology represented by the Bible, that they now no longer purport to live the way they did before. But as I say, the truth of the matter is, it was their sinful desires, sinful practices, sinful lifestyle that they decided they loved more than Christ that led them to make the changes in what they say they believe. I mean, their change in lifestyle led to a change in their religion. Though I know that in making that distinction, the distinction is not crystal clear, because properly understood, religion embraces both theology and lifestyle. It all goes together. But I think you understand what I'm saying, because we normally think in those categories. And so that's what they are doing. And so when you see someone who used to worship with you in your church and seemed to be a Christian in every observable way, and then they drop out of church, and before you know it, they are living in immorality, and you talk to them, and they say they don't believe what they used to believe anymore, and they tell you that it was their change, that their honest doubts about the Bible, their sincere questions about Christian theology, that they had reasonable concerns about the Christian faith, that's what took them away from church and from the fellowship of the saints, when the truth is that it was their sliding back into sinful living that now required a religious and theological justification. And so their immoral behavior prompted them to find a different theology. But here's the sober warning, the last part of the verse. It tells us the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Now read it all together. Here's what you've got. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. How is it worse? Well, it's worse because now they're more entangled than before. How is it worse? It's worse because before they sinned in ignorance, before they ever embraced Christ in the first place, but now they sin with full knowledge of what they are doing. They know that they are sinning against the teachings of the Bible. Before, they did not know Christ or the Bible, but now they do. Before, they had not willfully rejected Christ, but now they have. And so this latter end is worse for them than the beginning. This new bondage is stronger, and it is very unlikely that they will ever recover from this apostate condition. And that's the warning, a serious, sober warning. Don't play with sin. Don't start down that road. Very few people ever recover from that. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.